Can y'all start by telling us a little bit more about yourselves and about your experience with prison or prisoner support?
Yeah, so I'm relatively new to the prison support community. I've just been doing it a couple of years and was really drawn to it as my radicalization progressed, and I found it to be a really imperative way to support revolutionary movements that are either, you know, happening now or that have happened in the past, like Black Liberation Movement or the Earth and Animal Liberation Movement, and the like. And I've been working with New York City Anarchist Black Cross and do a bunch of support work for a variety of political prisoners, but my focus is mainly on the folks that are held in New York State, and then, of course, Sarah King.
So, I have been a part of the team of amazing folks who make up the Eric King Support Committee for a while, as well as personally supporting various other prisoners. As far as personally being affected by prison, Eric and I are partners, so all of this can be pretty intense and crippling at times. I have found that that personal experience has actually been really helpful in being able to relate and form bonds with other incarcerated folks.
Can you speak to the importance of prisoner solidarity as part of the Anarchist Project and other liberatory struggles, and specifically to the necessity of supporting long-term prisoners?
Definitely. So just straight up, to quote David Gilbert, prisons are an insult to the human spirit and a shameful waste of human potential, and, like, fuck prisons, but I'm sure we can all agree there. I feel like supporting prisoners is an essential task, and it's something we should do for people just because prison is inherently demeaning and dehumanizing and a fucked up place. But that being said, it's even more imperative for political prisoners to get support, and that isn't to say, of course, that all incarceration isn't somehow political, but I mean more in the context of any kind of revolutionary movement or politically driven activity. I think that if we're going to espouse anarchist praxis and encourage friends and comrades and, you know, even spend time ourselves in the streets or taking actions fighting against the system and the prevailing order, then we have to be realistic about how the state is going to respond to that, and they're going to respond with repression, and that inevitably means prison time. So it's truly necessary, it's essential to support our friends and comrades when they go down for politically motivated actions, whether that's marching in a black bloc or doing direct action or just fighting state repression in whatever ways that are available to them. They're doing prison support in this context emboldens movement in a variety of ways. First, it takes the person who's going through the prison system. It makes them feel supported and not forgotten, which not only enriches their quality of life while they're going through it, but also may make them feel more confident and comfortable standing up for themselves in the day-to-day. And we've seen this with Eric and him fighting for various things, including vegan food and such. But it also shows the state that our movement is strong, that it goes beyond yelling at some pigs in the street, but can be put into action and into these tangible support efforts that will directly combat their goal of breaking apart our movement. And then also it will help people, embolden people and make people more confident to take part in the movement and perhaps even take riskier actions. And if folks see that if they take a risk or even if they just participate, you know, we're seeing so many people go down for just participating, that if there is some kind of support for them in the instance that they do face state repression and or get hit with prison time, if they see that that support is already in place and that they will have a community who will back them up and, you know, be there for them as they go through this state repression, so like that deepens the trust we can build with each other and makes our movement stronger. It ultimately is the basis, you know, for any kind of, has to be the basis of any kind of revolutionary movement moving forward. Mutual aid, taking care of our own, those are all such tenets of anarchism, and that inevitably has to include supporting political prisoners.
Can you tell us more about Eric and any other prisoners that you support?
Eric is a anarchist political prisoner who is serving a 10-year sentence after an attempted firebombing of a congressperson's office in Kansas City as a show of solidarity with the Ferguson uprising. His stance against the state has been no secret. All you have to do is just read his sentencing statement for that. And he's under constant surveillance and threat because of it. The focus lately seems to be his poetry and stopping him from being able to use it to reach folks. Eric is currently teaching yoga and poetry. He's super into space, science, dystopian fiction, and always reading radical lit. He's a recent Harry Potter fan and loves magic and is skilled in the art of, like, rebellion through annoyance currently. As far as who I write, I also write Nicole Cassani. I write Crow. I recently started getting letters from Bill Dunn, which are pretty amazing. I've really enjoyed them. Recently, I found myself communicating more and more with different social prisoners that I support as well.
So for me, in addition to doing support work for Eric, like I mentioned earlier, I focus mostly on the New York State political prisoners like David Gilbert, Julia Montequin, and Robert Seth Hayes. And then I'm also in touch with some other people like Nicole Cassani as well, who I really love getting to know her so far.
So you mentioned that Eric has faced retaliation for some of his writings and for his outspoken stances, including restrictions on his communication. Could you tell us a little bit more about this and about Eric's situation now that some of those communication restrictions have been lifted?
Yeah, absolutely. From the get-go, when Eric was placed in the federal system, Eric was placed under SIS restrictions. SIS stands for Special Intelligence Services. It's pretty much the BOP's security team. Every piece of mail has to be personally approved by an SIS officer that goes out or that Eric receives. At one point, they upped his restrictions so much that that mail had to go through somebody in D.C. who had to read everything before it went to Eric or out. He is constantly being pulled in and bullied for, well, he was constantly being pulled in and bullied for any reason they saw fit. Even if he typed an exaggerated number into an email, they had pulled him in before to interrogate him so they could discover what the code was that he was writing in. This actually happened more than once. Every week they would threaten him. They would tell him, we will take you from your family and we will send you to CMU so fast your head would spin. And when Eric was brought up on disciplinary charges, they seemingly attempted to limit communications so that he was not able to gain support to help fight the allegations. He was prohibited from visiting, from making phone calls, or even emailing anyone. And the mail going out took about a week to process, going in and going out. So just limited communication in a very dramatic way. This tactic became apparent even more so when we found a lawyer for him. They contacted the prison wanting to have a legal call with Eric, and the BOP immediately held a disciplinary hearing that was not on the books before that could happen on a day that they don't even hold disciplinary hearings. The BOP is not dumb. They know what a strength communication is, and that becomes a super effective reason for them to limit communication. As of right now, Eric's still being monitored by SIS. However, so far he hasn't been constantly called into the office at FCI Florence. He seems to also be getting all of his mail and emails, and he's finally getting visits again.
So I think it was around the same time that Eric was dealing with those disciplinary charges that he was transferred to Florence. Can you speak to the implications of that move?
Yeah, absolutely. In the Bureau of Prisons in the federal system, there's a point system, as many other prison systems have, in which it determines the security level of the prison that the prisoner is going to be held at. When Eric was initially placed, he was in a low-security prison, FCI Inglewood. he was 1 point away from being sent to a medium prison. When he was brought up on disciplinary charges, the shot or write-up that he received was supposed to be for 3 points. However, somehow they awarded him 9 points for that. So after transferring into a medium, he's now finding himself 2 points away from being placed in the USP, which is the next security level up. This weighs heavily on him every day as he watches, like, the sun rise over the ADX in the morning, knowing that there's a threat to send him there. And the ADX is a supermax. It's pretty much a District 13 from the Hunger Games over there. And just every time he walks outside, seeing it is pretty heavy.
Could you talk about the International Day of Solidarity with Eric King, which has been called for the first time this year, for June 28th?
Yeah, so we are celebrating the first ever International Day of Solidarity with Eric on June 28th. And it will be the one-year anniversary, if you want to call it that, of his sentencing. And so we decided it would be a good way to build a community of support around him and his case internationally. He's been receiving a bunch of mail from international folks over the last year, and having this data focus on, we're hoping, will create a base of support that can be there for him throughout the course of the sentence, still, since he will be in for another 6 years. And, you know, we've seen him go through things, you know, with fighting for the vegan food or medical checkups or mail issues, and, you know, when he was at Leavenworth, and then going through the disciplinary hearing and that sudden transfer this January and February. And, you know, through those things, we've reached out to the greater community to call and email the prison, advocate for him. So things definitely come up, and, you know, they definitely don't want to make it easy for him in there or really anyone on the inside. So definitely building that broader community of support and channeling it into this annual support day, we think will be very effective and in kind of maintaining the space to call on when he needs more support. So we're encouraging folks to set up events in their cities or towns, whether it's a fundraiser or a punk show or a poetry reading or simply just handing out his support flyers. Anything to get the word out about him and his case and just spread the word about him and get people writing him and whatever else. And just to mention, if folks do organize events, they can email the information to us and we can try and promote it. And, you know, we'd also love to see whatever posters or flyers y'all come up with and however people are choosing to, you know, to bring attention to that day. And can you remind me of the support email?
Yes. It is Eric King Support Crew at riseup.net.
Can y'all speak to how the strengths or failings of prisoner solidarity have personally affected Eric, and also y'all as people who have close relationships with people in prison?
Yeah, having direct support has made an amazing difference in Eric's life. I watched him from going from living for the first 6 months in prison, having to pick small amounts of the vegan offerings on the regular tray and being extremely malnourished, to now being able to walk into the chow hall and check them on every single item he's being fed that isn't vegan, and really advocating for himself in so many other ways. Having folks stand up and support him has also helped to scales more than a few times with the prison, and as well as given him confidence. Letters, calls, all of that really brought him to this place where he can feel safe and confident, knowing that if he's picked up and isolated and brought somewhere, that folks are going to figure out what's happening and fight for him, even when his communication's limited, so even when he can't let us know. That is something at one point he didn't initially feel, and the fear and terror that was involved was so immense. the way that I see it is it's constant little battles that we wage in effort to stop the state from stealing parts of folks that we love. And that support really destroys the state's hold on prisoners. Having a solid support can tear down the efforts made by the BOP to isolate and play out like all of their little psyop tactics.
What are some of the challenges that y'all have experienced in doing prisoner support work, and what do you think we could collectively be doing better?
I think probably one of the biggest hurdles is prison tactics. The ever-evolving and constantly growing pressure that's being put on radicals in prison. It was stated in Eric's last disciplinary hearing that the BOP is going after incarcerated radicals from every group. The most recent tactics we are seeing play out is placing the prisoner in a vulnerable position, right on the cusp of a security change or a move to a higher security prison, and then attempting to isolate them from their support system. In Englewood, Eric was told that if they discovered anyone fighting for him on the outside, were their words, that they would remove that individual or group's ability to communicate with him. In addition, the constant harassment by SIS, making that prisoner feel vulnerable, makes them therefore less likely to continue to be strong and be political.
Yeah, I would add too that, which I definitely agree with everything you just said. And for me personally, some of the hurdles in supporting prisoners is that it is just very emotionally taxing, and it is just so much like administrative work. You know, especially with someone like Eric, it is a little bit brighter because he's serving a 10-year sentence. He will get out in 2023. It feels like for fucking ever away right now. But, you know, if he has an out date, he will be out, you know, compared to some of other people like former Black Panthers who are going up for parole every 2 years and just getting denied. But even still, to support someone inside who's serving 6 more years and to just, like, know he's going through all this every single day, or that he's constantly, you know, he's getting brought up on charges, or he's saying having to fight for food every single day, and, like, being part of a support crew or just, you know, a friend, it's just so emotionally intense, I guess, to be a part of it. And just that the work is a little monotonous. I mean, I love, like, writing people and supporting prisoners in that way, but to do the kind of, like, the calling or the emailing and dealing with talking to prison officials who don't want to talk to you and who hate you and hate that anyone has any support at all on the outside, you know, doing those kind of monotonous things, it is such a hell, you know, because people want these kind of, like, bigger, sexier things for prisoner support, like getting people out or, you know, doing these bigger things, but really prisoner support is a lot of just these monotonous day in and day out, like being there for people and doing the small things that need to be done to make sure that they are protected and that they're not getting totally messed with, you know, when they're serving their time.
Do y'all see any ways that June 11th could contribute to addressing some of these challenges? And what are your hopes for June 11th this year?
We need to be ever evolving. Something that I've been thinking about more and more is sharing our experiences with each other, what we've learned, things that were successful, things that were not so successful with each other. These things are not just happening to one prisoner. As more and more political prisoners are arrested and sentencing from various uprisings around the country, they are scrambling to attempt to develop a system to deal with radicals in prison. As a community, I don't believe that we are communicating enough about this. things like the current attempt made in the North Central region of the BOP, where they are sneaking language into every plea deal that limits the prisoner's ability to ever file a Freedom of Information request about the investigation or prosecution of their cases, or even allowing a third party to do so. This includes support folks, journalists, or anybody. This means that this info can stay hidden until the prisoner is no longer alive. This has not really been seen before and can really remove a major radical weapon from our arsenal. We can learn so much from ourselves and others, and it's super crucial that we get better at sharing that knowledge. And as far as hopes for June 11th this year, especially in the political climate where it seems like there is somebody constantly getting sentenced with long sentences. I just, watching it grow from last year is what, like, I feel like I can hope to see every year for June 11th.
What are your broader hopes and visions for June 11th in the years to come, and also prisoner solidarity more generally?
So I think as the years roll on and as Eric serves the rest of his sentence, we hope that June 11th will continue to grow and organize as it has been, and maintain this cross-movement community of support for the folks who are a part of it. And I know as a collective, we're super happy that Eric is one of the people recognized for June 11th, and just in general, how this day of solidarity has evolved to bring such direct and material support for these folks and really shed a light on and act as a tangible source of support for these long-term eco and anarcho prisoners. And especially, like, as we see more people go down in this political climate, I hope that the June 11th, the day can just continue to grow and gain more and more substance from the outside internationally and nationally, and just continue to be the space for the people who are a part of it.
Are there any struggles or moments in the recent past that have been inspiring to y'all?
Personally, I was really, really inspired by the No DAPL struggle, the tenacity of the Lakota people and their allies, the water protectors, in this, like, you know, protecting water and land in the face of these freaking omnipresent oil lords, like, literally the scumbag slumlords of this earth. I found that to be unbelievably inspiring. I mean, the water protectors endured such intense repression and violence from the police, and, of course, the harsh weather as things got cold in North Dakota, and just maintain their camps and their strength through it all, and I was so impressed and inspired by that.
I agree that watching that all play out was super inspiring. What really isn't inspiring right now? Watching Chelsea and Oscar come home was amazing. I woke up that morning and saw that Chelsea had already been released and started crying. And then that big, big celebration for Oscar. I could watch folks walk out of prison doorways all day long. It is personally a reminder as to why we do this work and the end goal of tearing that shit down and dismantling this entire system.
Are there any other projects that you're involved with or have interest in that you would like to talk about?
Yeah, I would like to mention briefly that former Black Panther political prisoner Julia Montekim is currently doing these bi-weekly, he calls them Twitter storms, but they're also like days for calling and writing to Governor Cuomo. He's trying to get him to grant him clemency. And so every other Wednesday, there is this directed action towards the governor. So calling, tweeting, go about that at freejulia.com. Also, I just want to shed light on this project New York City Anarchist Black Cross is doing called Project Fang, which is basically a travel fund for earth and animal liberation prisoners. It's funded fully by a sponsor, so it's not like it needs donations or anything, but definitely check it out. It's really awesome. We're brainstorming ways of how we can expand the project to potentially provide travel funds for folks coming from other movements. And you can find out more about that at nycabc.wordpress.com.
I just have this fantasy that I keep thinking about setting some sort of political prisoner book club up. That's been a really amazing part of communication as far as, like, reading books together and talking about them. It's been a really big escape for us, and I think it would be the most awesome thing in the world to start.
Yes, that would be so amazing.